Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? All right, greetings everyone. I hope you are doing well out there, and welcome to Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like yourself who've bounced back from adversity and failure to go on to live their best lives. And today we're very fortunate to have with us Dr. Legina Cunningham, who is living her best life and has overcome some pretty big obstacles in her life to be doing some amazing things. Dr. Cunningham, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us this morning. So, Dr. Cunningham, I hear you have some new and exciting things that are taking place right now. Tell us a little about some of the latest that's taking place in your life now.
I do. So I have a new book coming out. It'll be available on January 8th. It is called, it's a 3-book series. So this is the first one, and the series is called Unexpected Expectations. The first book is about motivation versus inspiration. It's geared towards business leaders, so I can help you figure out, can you motivate people? If so, or if not, what to do and how to inspire people and when. So that one is available January 8th. If you can get that on my website at llcunningham.com. And then also I have a round table series where I speak to a small intimate group of people to help figure out, why are your employees less engaged? Why is performance being impacted? Mm-hmm. Figure out those problems, figure out what the right solution is, help business leaders implement those solutions, and then ride off into the sunset. Okay. So those are my biggest things for 2021.
That's awesome. That sounds like you have your hands full there.
I'm hoping that my hands are going to be full, yes.
Yeah. So what's been the driving force behind the book? I mean, what is that prompts you to do this?
So my doctorate is in human performance improvement. And one of the things I really learned in corporate America as an employee is people spend a lot of time trying to motivate people. Business leaders spend a lot of time and resources trying to motivate people. And not to give you a spoiler on the book, but that's really the wrong approach.
Okay.
So from
an employee. You don't want to get that spoiler? You sure you
I'm not gonna get the spoiler.
Oh, man. Okay.
You got to get the book. You got to get the book.
Okay. We'll get you hear that, everyone? Make sure you go out there and get that book there. All right.
Yeah. So, but just from being an employee and being a leader in corporate America and just trying to merge what I've learned on both ends of the spectrum. And then also just being a mother, being a Black woman in America, being a professional, bringing all those things together. Because they really do all, you know, they do really go hand in hand.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, get the book.
We'll definitely have to get the book. So everyone, make sure you go to the website and get that book there. So which one do you think is most important, inspiration or motivation?
It depends on who you are speaking to. So if you're talking about the person, your motivators are what's most important, because that will tell you how you can be inspired. So again, not to give a spoiler in the book, but if
I'm trying to get it out of you.
If I am rich and you're not, but we both are working at this job for whatever reason, say I'm a housewife, I just want to get out the house, but my husband is rich, you know, and the our department head comes to us and says, hey, we have an opportunity for overtime. Like, who's really motivated to do the overtime?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
So you got to know what a person is motivated by before you can inspire them.
If you personally
want me to do overtime, just that's not going to get it, because my husband got 3 jobs. So yeah. I don't need to work.
Right.
I don't need to work more hours. So that's why it's important. So you need to know what's motivating the person before you can actually inspire the person.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, even as we're talking about our topic today on resiliency, mm-hmm. that whole point around motivation is a critical point that drives everyone to be resilient. And again, you definitely have a story of resiliency, and I appreciate you sharing your updated information mm-hmm. there. So what I want to do right now, I want to kind of jump into our interview with Kenneth, because this is a podcast where we want to showcase those stories of those successful individuals like yourselves, and really show our audience what it took to get out of those situations and how you can still be living your best life as you're learning from those situations as well. So I think your life is a testament to doing that. So let's get started. So what has been your biggest obstacle or life challenge that you face, whether it be in the career or in life period? What is one of the biggest challenges you face?
So I thought about this, and this goes to my point about how it's all interconnected. Yeah. So the biggest challenge that I've had to face has been racial. Mm. So quick story. So when my father was, he was going to Arizona State as an adult learner. I remember I was about 5 years old and he was leaving the house like he normally would. And I remember holding on to him like, "Dad, please don't go. Please don't go." And, you know, of course, he had to go.
Yeah.
So he left. He was going to Arizona State. I don't know if I said that. But that night he was jumped by three white men. And as they were hitting them, you know, they were, you know, spitting out all kind of racial slurs, blah, blah, blah. So we know it was a hate crime, but it left him blind in his left eye. And so I didn't realize at the time, I didn't realize maybe until I was at Arizona State as an adult learner, that that really that shaped my opinion of white people.
Yeah.
You know, my dad's best friend was white. I was raised in a diverse community. I went to diverse schools. I wasn't raised to be racist, you know, but that one instance just completely shifted my thoughts around white people.
Wow, that's pretty, thank you for sharing that. And really, sorry to hear that your father had to endure that as well, but it sounds like you took that negative experience and turned into something of a learning moment for you. What was it that you felt on that day? Did you feel something that wanted your father to stay home and not go out that day? What was it that was taking place?
I couldn't tell you what it is. I just remember just really not wanting him to leave that day. So I don't know if it's just a child's, you know, intuition. It was nothing different about the day, you know, so it wasn't like he wasn't different. Nothing's different around the house. But I remember just holding on to him and begging him not to leave that.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. And, you know, as parents, sometimes we kind of neglect the intuition of our kids sometimes, but our kids have really good insights to things. So Dr. Kanam, you still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you froze for a moment. I'm sorry. Okay. But our kids are very insightful. They can give us some insights to things we can miss sometimes. So as you've been dealing with these issues around racism, what have been some of the feelings that you've kind of possessed when it comes to dealing with racism? Because we hear a lot about racism and people talk about it from the head, but from the heart, how does it feel, you know, enduring those moments where you're dealing with racial issues or even hearing about your father, the situation he was in? I mean, how did you deal with that? What were the feelings that you had?
It was conflicting because, like I said, I was raised amongst white people, Latino people. So I didn't know I had no reason to dislike anyone just simply because of the color of their skin. So I was conflicted. I was conflicted a lot. You know, I had white friends, you know, schoolmates, and I just looked at them differently. I looked at their parents differently. You know, it was just kind of like, if it can happen to my dad, it can happen to me.
Right.
You know, so it was just a constant mental conflict. It's like, I know better. I know that the entire white race is not going to attack, you know, all black people.
Sure.
But, you know, just like with police, you know, all policemen are not bad. We just have a couple that should not be in their roles. Inner conflict, right?
It looks like our Zoom is freezing up here. Maybe your internet connection there is freezing up here. So there's a little bit of delay there. So apologize as you're kind of coming back. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of delay there. It looks like your internet may be freezing up either on your end or my end, one of the two. But
okay. What was the last thing you heard?
You know, just dealing with the inner conflict, which goes into my next question there, though. Was there anything that your father did to kind of help you cope with that situation?
No, because I was not aware. That's just how I adjusted. And then that carried on throughout my young adult life.
Okay.
So I never really spoke about it because I wasn't really aware of it. And I think that's how racism happens. So like with if you have parents who are prejudiced, they're just going to naturally instill that in their children. And so now a child grows up not realizing that that's what they're doing because that's just the way, you know, they've lived their life.
Sure.
So it just kind of happened for me.
Sure. Have you had mentors in your life to kind of help you navigate the waters of dealing with racism? Or even in that particular situation, as you think back to it, it sounds pretty traumatic. I mean, has there been someone in your life that helped you process and think about that differently?
I didn't have a mentor for that specifically, but when I had mentors at work or personal, it could have been a white woman. You know, me and a white woman just got along, you know, just fabulously. And then those would be like reminders to me that, okay, it's not everybody. You know, and okay, you don't have to feel threatened when you're in a group of white people if you're the only black person. So not directly for that, but indirectly, I did get that resolved.
That's good. So as you go through your journey in life, has there been a turning point for you that's helped you look at racism a little differently, where you can be more of a participant and teacher in it versus a person who's retreating and getting upset about it? So was there a turning point that took place in your life to kind of help you navigate those waters of racism a little better?
You know, in that class.
Your screen froze up on you again in the beginning of the question when you responded. I'm sorry.
Let me try moving around. Can you hear me still?
Yes.
Okay. So I was saying, when I went to Arizona State, working on my bachelor's degree in social work, I was taking a sociology 101 class. And in those classes, you know, you can have like 200 to 300 people because it's such a generic class. And what they would do is they would break us into groups. And so the group I was in one day, you're not gonna show the video, right? So the group I was in one day, they were showing this video of a black man going to look for an apartment or go grocery shopping, go buy a car, and he would be turned away. And then within 5 minutes, a white man would go to the same exact spot with the same conversation, same story, and he would be accepted or given whatever he was requesting. Sure. And I remember that, and it just so happens that the black man, my dad. So for me, it was like, okay, it was all coming back, and it just came back. It was real emotional for me. And I remember trying not, like there were tears, and I was trying not to audibly cry.
Yeah.
Be heard. And then I remember hearing next to me, there were two white girls next to me, and they started giggling. Mm. Now, in retrospect, I know they probably were not even talking about, you know, thinking about the movie, probably weren't even watching the movie.
Sure.
But in the moment, it felt like they were laughing about what happened, what we were seeing on the screen. And so kind of when I just kind of lost control, and I actually got up and left the class so I can, you know, gather my thoughts. And that's when I realized I really need to do some self-reflection on how I'm feeling about what's going on. And when it comes to racism, how am I really impacted? So that's when the work actually started. So that was the turning point for me to address my prejudices. Kind of get out of that mindset. Yeah.
That's good. And good for you for taking that stance and taking that approach there. So what do you think motivated you to kind of have the wherewithal to want to get beyond some of the issues related to race in Arizona? You know, we don't hear a lot about, you know, a lot of the racial impacts that, or things that may take place in Arizona. What do you think motivated you to say, hey, I want to not let this be something that's going to make me angry, but make me better? Not make me bitter, but make me better. What motivated you to kind of keep going on to kind of deal with those things? And you're in corporate America as well. So what kind of drives you there to kind of address those issues?
Because it was becoming an issue for me in corporate America. So I would, and this was maybe early 90s when I got into corporate America. So my managers would, you know, mostly be white, could be white female or white male. Mm-hmm. And anytime they tried to correct me or redirect me or anything that I felt was different from everybody else, it was instantly in my mind. It was instant because, you know, this is because you're white. Sure. Or because I'm black. And they could have been giving me genuine feedback that I probably could have learned from, you know, and been better at my job at. But I realized I would get passed over for promotions. I was labeled as somebody who was difficult to work with, who had different, you couldn't have a conversation with me. And it wasn't them, it was me.
Sure.
So, you know, a couple of managers later, I had to realize I'm the common denominator here. So, yes, everybody's been white. That's common, yes. But I am the common denominator for all these people. And so that's when I realized, okay, you have to do something different. And so working with people who had those same thoughts that I had for different reasons, I wanted to help them realize, you know, that whatever happened to make you feel the way you do about certain people is true. You know, that happened. I can't take that away from you. But we do have a choice in how we respond to that. Right. And so that's, I kind of actually...
Looks like you froze up there on the last part of your response there. Let me see.
Okay, what's the last thing you heard?
Well, I think you did a good job of kind of transitioning to my next question here. Okay. So, how did that situation with your father change you as a person? How do you think it's changed you today as a person?
Today as a person or at the time?
Well, both.
At the time, it totally changed how I saw the world. Like I said, you know, I was raised in a diverse life. Then all of a sudden, a whole sector of people became the enemy, you know, just based off that one experience. And that stayed with me until I was at Arizona State, like I said, in my 20s. And then once I got into corporate America, so maybe 25-ish, it was still with me. And it was impacting my life. It was impacting the fact that I couldn't go forward. And, you know, and I would avoid certain people. I probably missed out on some really rich relationships because I avoided people because of their race. So that's how it changed me then. But actually going through that and having that self-reflection and realizing, okay, this is something that I need to deal with. This is not their problem. It's my problem.
Right.
And sitting down and trying to correct that. It strengthened me as a person because I know now that I can step back and look at myself and say, LaGina, you got some work to do. You know, this is how it's a problem. And you're the problem. You know, that's huge for somebody to be able to say to themselves, you are the problem. So it helped me in that sense. So a lot of times when I'm not getting the traction that I think I need, I'm able to just step back and say, okay, what are you doing so that you're not getting the traction? What do you need to stop doing so that you can move forward? So that actually helped me to, you know, be able to do that self-assessment piece.
That's good. Anything you would do differently as you think back to that experience with your father and what you've done on your journey, what would you do differently?
I don't know. I think I would have addressed it sooner than I did. Because like I said, that was maybe 20 years worth of racism, we call it what it is, just based off of that one experience. You know, like I said, I probably missed out on opportunities, missed out on some good, you know, connections just because of that. So I think if I could do it differently, I wouldn't change it because there was some value there. I would just change how long it took me to realize what I was actually doing.
Sure, that's a good point there. You know, and we have a lot of audience members out there who probably have endured or maybe currently enduring situations where they have the same sentiments, whether it be in the workplace or the community or what have you. What advice would you give someone currently facing those challenges?
I would say consider why you feel the way that you do. Did something happen, like with me, something actually happened to create that for me? Uh-huh. Or are these values that have been instilled in you, you know, just through your childhood? Realize how that mindset is impacting your life. Like for me, I couldn't get promotions because I would just butt heads with managers just simply because they were white. Didn't matter, nothing else mattered. Just simply it was a white person, I was gonna butt heads with them. And I had to adjust that. So I would recommend that people look at, if this is how you're thinking, how is it preventing you from getting forward? You know, and so how can you change? And so it may not be that you need to change the mindset because some people are comfortable with that mindset, but you do need to change the behaviors so that you can get to where you really want to get to.
Yeah. And you know, Dr. Cunningham, that's great advice because folks out there, you know, you guys got a chance to hear a story of a real story of grit, you know, in terms of something that many of us are facing, not necessarily the obstacle in our house, but it may be something that's outside of our house around racism right. And how we have to figure that thing out. Dr. Cunningham did a great job of laying that out for us. Again, if you want more information on her, go to her website. You know, it's been amazing because it's something we all face at some particular time. You know, as a woman, as a man, as black male of color, or a gay person, what have you, all of us facing some type of challenges where we're responding to something that's happening to us outside of our household. So, great steps in doing it. Anything else you want to share about that at all?
No, I just, as you were talking, you know, it's, we always think of when we hear racism, we always think it's white people, you know, discriminating or feeling some kind of way against people of color. But we don't really address our own racism, and we have it a lot, whether it's justified or not. So I would just say, acknowledge it, acknowledge the role that it's playing in your life, and make the necessary changes.
Sure. So when you're doing your corporate trainings, do you address that with employees as well? Those of us with people of color who may have our own stuff that we haven't dealt with, do you?
I have not touched on racism, but because the culture is changing with the George Floyd situation, there are more requests now to get into racial sensitivities, that type of thing. So it is coming. So that one's going to be interesting. I haven't had the green light to touch on racism in corporate America, because, you know, it's been kind of shunned. We don't really talk about that, just like we didn't talk about sexuality. But the cultures are shifting. So
do you have any reservations about addressing racism as you're going to go back into corporate America doing this?
No, I don't, because, and I always felt, and when we look at people in our diversity and inclusion departments, they're always, they traditionally, they're black people. And I always felt, you know, why does it have to be a black person to talk about, you know, diversity? But it was always from a different angle. So I think where I can come in and be different is addressing my own racisms and accepting that I spent 20 years, you know, being racist and prejudiced against white people. You don't really hear people saying that, or people of color saying that. So I think that's going to be a different angle that I can share. And I think that's going to make people feel a lot more comfortable, including white people. You know, that they can feel comfortable that, okay, yeah, I feel this way. And it's how you feel is how you feel. But my approach, again, is going to be how you're reacting to that and how you're sharing how you feel with the world.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a blessing to a lot of folks out there to be able to open them up. Because, again, you're constantly responding to someone else. It's kind of like that thing of forgiveness, you know. I'm waiting for you to do something to help me forgive you. Whereas if I just address my stuff and forgive you, it gives me a chance to kind of become empowered and move on. So I think that's a great approach to it. So wishing you well on all that right there, okay?
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
So Dr. Cunningham, we come to this fun part of my show, which is called Rapid Fire Purpose Questions, all right?
Okay.
I'm just gonna shoot you a bunch of questions around purpose. You got to answer them. You got to just keep going. I'm not going to have you expound on them or anything else. You just got to just respond to the questions. And take a sip of coffee right there so you can get ready.
Okay. Like, hold on.
Get your mind ready.
I'm ready.
You ready?
Yep.
So I'm going to run through them. You just respond, okay?
Okay.
See how quickly you can get through them.
Okay.
And the first one is, how have you turned your dream into reality?
Started my own companies.
Okay. What gives your life meaning?
My son.
If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
I still would do something in human performance field. Okay. Something in my field, yeah.
What verb best describes you?
Challenging.
What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Racism.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Roller skate.
Why are you doing what you're doing currently today?
I enjoy helping people.
What do you wish you had more time doing?
Not doing it for money.
Okay. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
That I'd be a psychologist with twin daughters.
Okay. If you had something to teach, what would you teach?
Self-awareness.
Who inspires you the most, and what qualities do they possess that inspire you?
Actually, my son, and just watching him learn life. I actually learned a lot of stuff about life watching him trying to navigate life.
Okay. What's something about yourself or your life that might surprise others to learn?
You have to read book three.
All right, that's a good answer.
Okay.
What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Travel, do some international traveling.
What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Improving.
What would you like your grandchildren to say about you?
That they're impressed. They were impressed with grandma.
If you were a superhero, what would your power be and why?
Or Dr. Watson, what would my superpower be?
And why?
I'm gonna have to stick with my theme here. I think my superpower would be like maybe a mirror. So maybe I'm holding a mirror and it makes you see yourself. And quickly you can adjust whatever needs to be adjusted.
Okay.
Just to make the world a better place.
Okay. If I were to walk around your home, what clues would reveal about what you love?
Wine bottles.
What would you go back to school for?
Psychiatry.
What do you love to learn about?
The human mind.
What sparks your creativity and makes your wheels going in your head?
Being stagnant.
Okay. Who do you admire and why?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say Maya Angelou, just because of her own personal triumphs.
Okay. If you became the president today, what law would you pass first?
That would be a mandatory Women's Day.
Okay. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would you follow around and why?
It would be a leader of some sort. I want to say the president of the United States, but not the current president, just the person in that role.
Okay, all right.
Just to see what a day in a life is really like.
Okay. What do you love to do for others?
Cook.
Okay. What's the best gift anyone's ever given you? Why was it the best?
Time, actually.
Why was it the best?
That's what's important to me. People spending time. I think time is more expensive than money, actually. So when people give me their time, I appreciate that.
Okay. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
I'm proud of you, from my son.
All right, good. What industry, company, or organization would you leave your current job for and why?
It would have to be something to do with public speaking.
Okay.
And just to have more of a platform to do what I'm doing now.
Okay. What's been one thing you've never been afraid to do?
Speak.
Okay. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Fighting for my sister.
Okay. What does success look like for you?
Success for me is being able to do whatever I want to do when I want to do it.
Okay. What would people who know you best say your purpose is in life?
Impacting others.
What are you most grateful for?
The opportunity to be a mother.
What are the biggest lessons you've learned in life?
To not take life seriously.
If you could trade your jobs with someone else you know, who would you trade with and why?
Okay, so let me explain it. So I'm thinking Steve Jobs. Is that his name? The Apple guy?
Yeah.
Okay. So not his ending, but just the
first one. Right. Okay.
So, <yeah.
laughs> so Steve Jobs, okay. How do you want to be remembered in history?
Like him, I want to leave a legacy of some sort, something that's truly left an imprint on the world.
Awesome. Give yourself a round of applause. You got through it, Dr. Cunningham. You made it through. So, folks, you hear those purpose questions, I think you can take and learn something great from Dr. Cunningham. So if you didn't know her beforehand, you should know a lot of great things about her now. So I want you to go and download this podcast, subscribe, rate us, give us a 5-star rating. We want a 5-star rating if you really enjoyed it. And then I want you to share with your friends. And if you have a business out there and you want to be a sponsor for the show, contact me. We would love to showcase your show here. We have great content, great folks coming on. We would love to get your business or ideas out there, spread out there. So if you know someone who is an overcomer, has done some amazing things, we also want you to refer them on to our show as well. So I really hope that you have enjoyed the podcast today. Again, Dr. Cunningham, thank you for sharing your journey of racism with us, how you've overcame it, and sharing a portion of your life with us as well. I wish you the best on your next book to come out. Can we get a free copy sent our way?
I'll send you a copy. I'll sign it and everything.
You notice you didn't say free on there, all right? So we'll have to figure that piece out, though. But everyone, thank you for your time today. Join us for the next podcast. Thank you very much. God bless. We'll see you soon. Take care. Deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.